So you're welcome to the month of March, to a new teaching series which we have titled Sprout, Growing Up Spiritually. Sprout, the word sprout, or if you go and check the dictionary, a sprout is a new growth of a seed or a plant. When a seed is planted, the first shoot out of growth from the plant is called a sprout. And after some time, the branches will begin to sprout. Then the fruits of the tree, if applicable, will begin to sprout also. To buttress this point, you can see Job chapter 14 from verse 7. The Bible says in Job 14 from verse 7, it says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again." Do you see that word? It will sprout again. Amen. So that new growth or shooting out is called a sprout. Please, are you with me? Holy Spirit, speak to us today in Jesus' name. So, in short, sprout refers to new growth. You have to mean new growth. In the same way as a believer, you ought to have periodic seasons of growth, seasons when and where you sprout. And the Lord has signified that this is another season to sprout. Amen. So, this is how it is. After you get born again, shortly after you get born again, there has to be an immediate season of sprouting. If you are genuinely saved, you can understand what I'm talking about. Where after you just embraced Christ and believed in the Lord, there is this fresh hunger for the things of God. Are you with me? You want to know what is speaking in tongues about? What does it mean to be saved? Am I sure I am saved? Are you getting this? And you are growing, and you grow rapidly to a point where the next question is, how can I overcome sin? How do I become consistent with my devotional life? Are you with me? You have those milestones. But you see, the problem is, when people get to a certain stage where they begin to see progress, many of them settle. And when God is bringing another certain to sprout again, they ignore it. Especially when they think they have made enough progress. But listen, if you are following the Lord and if you have been growing spiritually, you will have periodic seasons of sprouting. And, you know, I was saying something on Sunday that this year makes it 20 years since I got born again. And I'm not saying since I started attending church, because I was born into church. Like, they gave birth to me the next day. They just carried me to church. But when I got serious with the Lord, this year makes it 20 years. And I can tell you specific years where I sprouted. Like, I can tell you. I got born again in 2005, August. But 2006, everybody around me knew, this guy, something has happened. That was in secondary school. All my classmates, some of them are members of this church now, to tell you how strong it is. Some of my classmates are members of this church. Especially in Port Harcourt and Lagos. It was so strong, The conversion was so strong. Now, people that roughly 1 year ago used to call me rugged. I used to have one nickname because I was a head of some bad boys. They used to call me rugged. Some of you cannot believe it. Somebody met me one time and said, "See, Pastor, I cannot believe all those things you are saying. As far as I know, you have always been a man of God." But I sprouted. That was the first time I canceled out the demon. I saw how habits left me. I saw how the word of God can purify a man's thought. I'm telling you, all the pornographic and the sexual related thoughts, they left me. I'm telling you, they left me so much that there was a point where I sat down one day, intentionally tried to rethink them, but I could not. Do you know what it means when you have advanced in the light? The Bible says every good gift and every perfect is coming from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You know, I read that verse one day in the Amplified, and then it said, there is no shadow of turning because wherever he turns, light comes out from it. God cannot have a shadow because his back is also light. Everywhere is light. So even if he turns his back on you, light is still shining. Do you understand that? You can advance in the light to the point where your natural and supernatural will intertwine so much. Do you realize that Cain and Abel were not praying to hear from God? The supernatural and the natural overlapped such that Cain can just sin right now, and that period, God will talk from heaven and Cain will hear. Are you following me? This month, prepare. Amen. So I want to ask you, when last did you sprout? When last did you sprout? When last did you experience a season of freshness in God where you saw yourself shed off old things and stepped into newness? Because let me tell you, as long as you are a genuinely saved believer, God intends that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. He expects that at every point you are sprouting again. Are you with me? When you think you have gotten to the end, God will say, this is a new beginning. This is a new beginning. You keep going deeper. You keep going higher. You keep becoming greater. Are you getting this? Say after me, Lord, in this season, I am ready to sprout again and to grow spiritually. And so shall it be. Amen. Say this one, I shed off old weights and bring forth newness in the name of Jesus. Some of you are not talking. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Shout glory. So, what exactly is spiritual growth in Christ? Let's start from here. What exactly? And if you followed our teachings very well, you can divide our teachings into three parts. All our teachings. The what, the why, and the how. Who has noticed that? So Pastor David, we always start every teaching series with what is. Are you getting me? Because I found out that many people like to be confused. What did he say? I can't really tell, but man, he was just saying things, portals, dimensions. When you elevate this place will collapse. Here we enter. Then you will take a troposphere in the spirit. What? He says, zero contractors. Leave me alone, Abeg. What exactly is this? You must be able to explain if they ask you, what is spiritual growth? You must be able to say, this is what spiritual growth is. And explain it to the point where a child that has known himself can understand what you are saying. First thing I want to say is, spiritual growth is not the same as spirit growth. It is spiritual growth. And that takes me to the first definition. So you may have to write. In fact, you should write. Spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures into the realities of Christ in him. I'll say it two more times. Spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures into the realities of Christ in him. Shall I take it again? What is spiritual growth? Number one, spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures into the realities of Christ in him. The journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. When a person believes in Jesus and becomes born again, Christ has made his home in him. But that does not necessarily mean that Christ has taken a form in him or he has taken a form in Christ. And I'm going to explain what that means. Let me start with Galatians 4, verse 19. Galatians 4, verse 19. It says, I should say some things again, right? The journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. The journey of spiritual growth is from Christ in you to Christ being formed in you. When a person believes in Jesus and becomes born again, Christ has made his home in him. But you see, that work of salvation where Christ has made his home in you happens in your spirit. For this person to live out the realities of who Christ is, he has to grow up spiritually. His mind and his daily life has to match up to what Christ is within him. Let me explain. Let me use an analogy to explain. Do you know that when you give birth to a baby girl, there is a woman inside her? As she was born, she has a womb. At that baby stage, there is a womb. Are you getting me? She has ovaries. She has everything that will make a woman is inside her. But until she grows, the full capacity of her reality will not be visible until she grows. If by any chance she's being stunted from growth, she can be a woman but remain a baby. That, are you with me? She can have the capacity to carry a baby, but if her growth is stunted, she will never. Are you getting this? So, when you get born again, Christ is in you. But if you don't grow, the reality of who Christ is, what he's carrying, the fullness of him will not be made manifest. Are you getting this? So, spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures to the realities of Christ in him. So, Christ is in you, but is Christ really visible through you? You have to grow up to that reality. Are you getting this? Galatians 4 verse 19. It says, my little children. Now, for Paul to say my little children, it means that they were already born again, because we don't know about Paul having any biological children. Are you getting this? It says, my little children. That means they were already born again. Of whom I travail in birth again. That means he did some traveling for them to be saved. But now he's saying, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So you can be a child of God, but not revealing the nature of God. Have you not seen people who say things like, this guy goes to church, he has believed in Jesus, he even speaks in tongues, but when you look at him, is he a Christian? Who has seen this like that? Sometimes you can actually look at the person actually genuinely loves God. He's saved, but you look at his life, you say, this one, the problem is, he may have been a baby for a long time. I will get to that later in this series. You know the thing here? I've come to discover that when it comes to spiritual growth, you cannot assume you are growing. You don't assume growth. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. See, by just, there are things you check in the Bible. If the Bible says this, check it with this. That's all. And from this service, you will know exactly if you are growing or not. Some of you, it's not that you are not growing, but you can grow much more. Are you getting this? My little children. Now, let me show you something else. I hope I don't confuse you with what I want to say. Do you know that there is a difference between being born again and being a Christian? Some of you have heard me teach this before, right? That got you. There's a difference between being born again and being a Christian. To be born again, it means that you have believed in Jesus. It means that you have accepted him as the way of salvation and his life has come into you. That's what makes you born again. But to be a Christian, it means that you have allowed the work of Christ mature in you to the point where other people can recognize that Christ has worked on you. That is why the early church got saved in Acts chapter 2, but they were only called Christians in Acts chapter 11 from verse 26. And it was the unbelievers in the city of Antioch that looked at them and said, these ones are Christians, because we can see the life and the nature of Christ continuing in these ones. Are you getting this? When Christ has matured so much from you that people can now see that life of Christ being continued and extended through you, you are a Christian. So you can be born again for a long time but not a Christian. It takes development to become a Christian. It takes growth. So it takes believing to be born again, but it takes growth to be a Christian. Did you hear what I just said? It takes believing and accepting the finished work of Christ to be born again, but it takes growth, maturity, sprouting to be a Christian. Are you following this? Now, look at John chapter 1. From verse 12 to verse 16. My emphasis is on verse 16, but let me start from verse 12. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say after me, I'm born of God. Then in verse 14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now jump to verse 16. Everybody read verse 16 with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 16, please. 1, 2, 3, go. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Hey, read it again. Glory! So he's telling you there is nothing in Christ that is not in you. Of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. So he's saying that in the realm of the spirit, if you put Christ and put you, everything is carrying, you are carrying. He checked himself very well and said, every grace that is in me, I give it to them. But why is it not made manifest in everybody? Different levels of growth. Are you following this? You know, the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So it is not your spirit that is trying to grow. You and the Holy Ghost are one. But it is the manifestation of that work in your spirit that is called spiritual growth. Are you getting this? So the whole of Christ, his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. It's in you. But how much of it is evident? How much of it have you matured into? So, number one, spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures into the realities of Christ in him. Do you understand that? Yes, amen. Amen. Number two, spiritual growth is the supernatural change. Please, are you with me? You know what? I would do like when I used to teach in secondary school. Some of you don't know that I was once a physics and math teacher. In fact, after I finished from the university. Was it when I finished from university? Okay, before I went to the university, I stayed 1 year at home. That 1 year, I taught people for JAMB. I was writing the JAMB too, but I remember the day my student discovered I was also writing the same JAMB with her. She said, David, you are writing? I said, yes, now. He said, if you are teaching us and you are writing, there will be a problem. And of course, there was. Well, I remember when I was going to write the UniBen aptitude test, University of Benin. And so, don't worry, I didn't finish from UniBen, I finished from Covenant, but I wrote the aptitude, I got admission there too. So, when they were calling our names, and they will call your name and your JAMB score to enter the aptitude test hall. They will call somebody. So most of the people, they were calling the first person, 190 something. They will hail the person. The first person that they called, 200. They will hail the person. You know, students now, when they have been waiting this morning, they just want to excite themselves. Emeka Oswagu, 220. Hey! This one person, Abodering, 232. Hey! And they were calling like that. And this was Faculty of Engineering. So nobody was really expecting people that were too high, because medicine was from 280 above. Who remembers those days? Mm-hmm. So they called one guy, 261. Hey! People shout them, say, remove cap, remove cap. You know, students are interested. People say, remove shoe, remove shoe. Hey! They now got to my name. Okay, no, Robert David, 281. They didn't shout to everybody, was quiet. They said, make me see that person. So I came out. If I'm this short, imagine I was shorter then. I came out, they said, ah. They just told the invigilator, please put four people around him. Let's know if he did expo. You know, the thing I'm coming to write, I've taught it so much. Eh? I don't teach physics for 2 years, maths for two. Paper 1 hour 30 minutes. In 15 minutes, David was done. They said, we talk him. By the end of the aptitude test, I was scheduled to see the VC. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not trying to brag. That one has passed. All things are dung for Christ. I count them but dung for the excellency of knowledge of Christ. Who physics help? Sorry. As we are saying. Praise the Lord. Spiritual growth is the supernatural change. Are you with me? So number two. Spiritual growth is the supernatural change that happens to believers in Christ because of his exposure to the things of God. Spiritual growth is the supernatural change that happens to a believer in Christ because of his exposure to the things of God. Close your eyes and say something with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I will not be carried away. As I listen, my heart is open. I receive training and impartation in the name of Jesus. Spiritual growth is the supernatural change that happens to a believer in Christ because of his exposure to the things of God. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. The Bible says, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Read it again and shout that glory. That glory needs to be born again. I'm not satisfied.
But we all, with open face, beholding as by a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory!
But we all, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, he's saying that the more you are exposed to the glory of the Lord, you ought to be changed into that same image if the Holy Ghost is at work in you. He said, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord should be working in you to ensure that you are changed into the image of God that you are exposed to. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is important. That is why we pray. That is why we study. That is why we show you things in the Word of God. The idea is when we lift up Christ as a banner, as you see it, you're supposed to be changed. When the glory of the Lord is revealed, you ought to be changed. You know? Sorry, with all these my stories. I remember working on one in a company one time, an oil field, and I had this supervisor named Jimmy. He was a Christian. But I never knew how serious a Christian he was until one day something happened. So we had one colleague, he was also my senior too, a senior colleague on the field. There was a misunderstanding between two people and somebody offended him. And I think he was talking about how after this whole thing he's going to drink beer, he's going to take one girl at least and just calm himself for the night. And I was where I was. I just put my head like this and was like, oh God. And then Jimmy just tapped me and said, he's not broken, that's why. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, sir. He said, he's a Christian. I know he's a Christian, but he's not yet broken. He said, if he has seen the glory of God, those things will be distasteful to him. I looked my supervisor. Okay. I said, tell me more. Because I used to think before I was the only spiritual person there among them. He said, Christ has not broken him. He said, there are things he will see in God, he will break. Those things inside him will break. Huh? He said, he loves the world. That's the problem. Because Christ has not revealed, he has not seen the pleasure of God in Christ. Ah! That, in those 3 seconds, those 3 sentences, I could know this guy has been exposed to something. Are you with me? In those 3 sentences, he said, I could just know that he has been exposed. God expects that the more he reveals himself to you, you ought to change. Remember on Sunday, I was saying something that God was angry with Solomon. God said, how can Solomon do these things after I appeared to him twice? Do you remember? God was expecting that if I appear to you twice, there should be a mark, a change on you. Spiritual growth is the supernatural change that happens to a believer in Christ because of his exposure to the things of God. Look at Luke chapter 9 from verse 29. Read this one with me. Please don't be bored, don't be tired. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Have you seen this? The Lord gave the people who were around Jesus the supernatural privilege to see what happens in the spirit when we pray. You see, the blessing of prayer is more than what it does for you, but what it does in you. As we can see here, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, meaning you can change. You can go into prayer, Jacob, and come out as Israel. Some of you have heard me explain this before. You know, the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against thee shall prosper. That means weapons are forged for people. They measure people to get weapons. It's fashioned for you. They measure you. They check your dimensions. They check your habits. They check your lifestyle. They check what you like. They check what you don't like. But you can go and pray and you change. So what they have already sold for you, it is no longer your size. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. It is a supernatural change that occurs when you are exposed to spiritual things. You know, since Refresh, something has been happening to me. Something I can't explain. I've been telling my guys who have been close to me. I've always been seeing visions, so, but the way I've been seeing visions in the past 6 days or 5 days since that worship meeting we had, I can't explain. Sometimes it's almost like it's physical. One was so real. I saw this man and his wife. A door was open for them, and the Canada flag was by the door. And the wife was saying, come, let's go. And he was talking to me and told me, I'm going. And he walked into the door. I came out from the vision. I messaged him. I said, sir, see what I saw about you. He said, man of God, and called me. He said, you know, I'm in Canada right now. I left 2 days ago. He was like, I didn't tell. How did you know? It has been happening back to back, back to back. I can't even mention all the scenarios. When you are exposed to God, and then you begin to change. Let me show you another one. Luke chapter 22 from verse 32. Luke 22 from verse 32. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. I believe you are sensitive. Some of you can already sense the presence of God here. Jesus was talking to Peter. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So there is a conversion God is expecting. Are you getting this? Many people have been attending churches. Are they being converted? God is expecting that after a while, people should look at you and say, this guy has changed. No, this guy, you are changing. You are changing. Something is changing about you. In the same way, you can see somebody beginning to embrace wrong habits and say, guy, you are changing. When did this one start? Are you following this? God should look at you and say, yes, you are being converted. He says, when thou art converted, dear brother, you have been attending church. Have you been converted? Converted. Dear sister, are you being converted? How much conversion has happened? You know, I've met some people who were like my seniors some years ago. I mean they were like my leaders in ministry, in our music ministry, teenage ministry, choir, many years ago. And sometimes when I talk to them, and we interact, and I try to talk about the things of God, the way they view life, when we are talking, I'm like, so you are still here? Is this how you still see things? Conversion should have happened by now. Are you getting me? Like, we talk, and when they are talking, I can discern, you are still here. No, now. Say after me, I will sprout and grow spiritually. There is a conversion. From time to time, you should look at yourself and say, I've grown. See, as a believer, after some years, you look back at some things and say, Kai, God has brought me a long way. I'm telling you. You should look at every area of your life. There were some things that I would struggle before to obey God about. Now I look back, I'm like, really? So this same me, I can obey God like this. I've been converted. Some things that will bother me before, it will bother me. This stopped me. Now I'm like, this thing happened. God, thank you. Thank you, Baba. Thank you. So we have come reached this level. There was a time, tithe was a struggle for me. I won't even lie to you. Many years ago. I'm talking about 15 years ago. Tithe. Now, one time the Lord said, you know what? This year, this particular month, you will give me 60% of everything that comes. And I did. And I did not do it. I was like, I did it. I was so happy. I'm like, but you have grown. You know, something happened one day. You know, who knows VIO? One of the VIO people. One thing led to another. They stopped my car. Somebody else was driving my car. And they seized the car keys and all of that, took the car to their station and told the person that was driving the car at that time to pay. And we paid, and finally, because the papers had expired by one day, one day they just cashed out from it. And so I got to here and he said, no problem. So we renewed the papers and I eventually met the VIO man. But as I met him, I just liked him. And one day, the Lord said, ask for his account number. I was like, VIO. VIO. This guy. The Lord said, ask for his account number. So I asked him. I said, send me your details. And the Lord said, send him this amount of money. I said, I said, but Lord, you have said so. I sent him. Immediately I did. He messaged me and said, sir, how did you know I lost my job? So, started talking. As we speak, I'm his pastor.
before police, all these officials, you will not smell my 5 kobo. You will not smell. If I break my screen, you will not get it. Romans 12 from verse 2. Everybody read Romans 12 from verse 2. Conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me start from the second part. See, when you are being transformed, your way of seeing things will be different. Ah, God. Have you talked to people who have gone far with God? You know the problem? There are not too many. That's why sometimes we can just make it look like, how will I put it now? Sometimes we can make it look like they are like stars. Maybe this is a spiritual giant. But I'm talking about people who are not even ministers. People who are not like heads of churches, but Christians who have gone far with God. Some older Christians. I've met them. I was blessed to have such people. You hear the way they talk. Nothing in this world bothers them. I mean, nothing. Eh? Hey, God. Nothing. You tell him, sir, look at how this person's behaving. He's misbehaving. He said, don't worry, we'll pray for him. Jesus will bend him. Okay. Hey, sir, we don't have anything. I was with one. They jammed his car. Car is car. This world. What is it? Their way of viewing things has so changed. Some of the things you take lightly, they don't take lightly. You know, when I started studying this thing here, very well, some years ago, I found out that even the way we measure spiritual growth is a sign of the fact of where you are spiritually. How do you even measure it? The way you measure it. Some people, you know, at a certain stage of your spiritual life, you don't take Thanksgiving serious. Oh, Father, thank you. Go and see people who have gone far. They take Thanksgiving very serious. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. They don't play with their devotion. I remember staying in the house. I won't call his name because he's a notable Nigerian. I lived with him one time in Lekki. Morning devotion. If you like, let the sleep won't kill you. Eh? See that devotion? They must pray. And I'm talking about devotion of like 1 hour. 1 hour, 30 minutes. 5:30 a.m. They are awake. And when the man tells you, I've been doing this thing for 40 years. For 40 years, every day. 5:30 a.m. They wake up. They will pray. They will sing. They will pray. They will read the Bible. God is a treasure. Is a treasure to them. The things you realize, somebody will receive a leading of the Spirit and say, okay, maybe. And that person, the Holy Ghost will say, bam! They move immediately. There were things you will be calculating. You know, one time I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo. He said they bought a land in Kaduna years ago. A big, some plots of land. And they had done groundbreaking. They were doing foundation. Then he went one day and was walking around. And the Lord said, you're on your own. He said, God. He said, you bought the land, but I'm not in this land. Sir, what are you saying? He said, let me go and pray. He said, he went to pray. God told him, say, you see this place? You see this land? Everything you are doing here, you are on your own. Hey. He told the workers, God said we are on our own. He said, I should tell all of you, that everything we are doing here, we are on our own. That is not with us. They left the place. I found out that as of this year, that land is still there. If it's you and me, what will happen? We can turn it to a complex. We can do it like this. You've been rationalizing the instruction. Are you getting me? We'll be rational. Okay, we can.
These people,
straight up. Let me move on. Please, are you with me? Back to that Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a transformation God is expecting. Amen. Amen. There is a transformation God is expecting. Are you with me? So number two, spiritual growth is a supernatural change that happens to a believer in Christ because of the exposure to the things of God. Did we get that? Number three. So let me be sure you are following. Number one is what? Spiritual growth is?
Everybody start again.
Number one, spiritual growth is the process by which a believer matures into the reality of Christ in him. Number two, spiritual growth is the supernatural change that happens to a believer in Christ because of his exposure to the things of God. Okay, amen. Number three, spiritual growth is the tangible increase of Christ's divine presence and influence in the life of a believer. It is the tangible increase of Christ's divine presence and influence in the life of a believer. Spiritual growth is the tangible increase of Christ's divine presence and influence in the life of a believer. This service is giving real Bible study vibes. This is how it ought to be. So at some services where the worship is not long, praying is not long, we come to study the Bible. One ministry I salute, they got it right in the 70s and in the 80s. They did it. Deeper Life Bible Church. You go do Bible study, so they even do question and answer. Sir, we ask questions, sir. And you know the flesh does not like that thing. Eh? You sleep will be coming like this. But when they are doing hype service, yeah, to the left, to the right, yeah. All those kind of praise and worship that even people are not saved, they say, oh man, that church gave vibes. That church gave vibes. Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. Luke chapter 1 from verse 80. He says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert until the days of his showing. Are you seeing that phrase? Walk strong in spirit. See after me, walk strong in spirit. You can walk strong in the spirit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you knew when your spirit became stronger. Ah, my God. You knew when, you will hear a song and there is a stir within your spirit to pray. Your spirit has started gaining momentum. You want to do something and you can feel the man called Christ inside of you saying no. Sometimes it's so strong. Are you guys what I'm saying? So clear, so strong, you are growing. Now look at that same Luke chapter 2 verse 40. The Bible says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now see, you know why we said it is the tangible increase of Christ's divine presence? We know that every Christian has Christ inside of him. Wait, let us see evidence. Show evidence. Are you with me? The tangible increase. Okay, you are a believer. Give us evidence. Let us see evidence. See, if the very same habits you had 10 years ago, you are still having them now, you are not growing. Because if you are growing, there should be tangible increase of Christ's divine presence and influence in the life of a believer. Are you with me? Some of you are 25 years old. Some of you are 20. Some of you are 30. You remember when you were 3. Some of you cannot remember though. There are some things you could not carry. Now you can even use your finger and carry it. You know what's happening? the things you couldn't do at that level, you can do now because you have grown. If after some years in Christ, the things you couldn't do that time, you still cannot do. The same traps that will make you fall some years ago, you are still falling now. Where is that tangible divine influence of Christ? Are you getting this? You know, years ago, there were some things that Satan would just use. And once I fall into that trap, I will start seeing God have messed up again. Now, when I see the temptation, I will say, guy, Satan, you still bring this trick. I don't grow now. I don't pass this level. It can't work. Oh. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? This trick cannot work on me. There are some of you. You have even grown in the way you fast. Before, 12 o'clock, you want to die. Then after you eat the food, you're like, oh, I should have fasted. I should have stayed till 6. Now, when you feel that pain, by 12 o'clock, say, I passed this one. I can go beyond this one. Am I on my own? Believer, after 5 years, 30 minutes prayer is still very hard for you. No, now you have not grown. That's the problem. Hey. Somebody does you something and it's still paining you after 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. Say that person. You are still sulking. You should have passed the level. Are you with me? Say this thing. Not today. You know, I and my... Should I talk about this? And my father and Lord were talking on the phone. We're just talking about challenges that we have gone through. So we're just talking. And I was telling him about something. I said that when he was like, why didn't you tell me about this thing? Something you had this very serious challenge like this. You didn't tell me. I said, sir, that one is nothing. You are faced worse now. I know where you are at that level. You are at that level. You have left it and passed it. I said, sir, you have passed that level. You have bigger challenges now. He said, David, you are correct. Oh, it's true. I said, it's true. Then he was not telling me of the challenge that he is going through now. You know, if you don't fight the challenges that is in your front now, the ones in the future will look much more difficult. It looked much more difficult. Moving to Abuja was not as tough as it would have been if I had not obeyed God in some things before. When the Lord asked us to open Lagos Church, and the Lord did everything, gave us a hall free of charge, did everything, and I was still scared. God. Eventually we obeyed, and God has proved himself in a mighty way. So when the Lord was saying, Abuja, well, I said, okay, I know that if the Lord says walk on water, I will not fall. Are you getting me? You know, one of our pastors, Pastor Tolu, in Lagos Church, she met me, she was like, Pastor David, you are bold. Say, Pastor David, you prayed for that deaf and dumb girl on the road. On the road, outside. Everybody, I said, I've grown. There was a time, one day, this was 2016. I was praying and fasting for about a week. And I was walking on the road. And I saw a blind man. And immediately I saw him, I felt like something came on me. Like a clot of power came on me. And I could feel the Lord telling me, grab him and rebuke the spirit of blindness. I couldn't do it though. You know what I did? I just said, hello, sir. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. I was being demure. Sushed. Refined. Sanctimonious. And splendid. I called him. I said, excuse me, sir. Then the guy that was leading him, he said, I said, can I pray for him? He said, okay, you can pray. As I wanted to start, you also be with your phone. Show brother phones like this. I looked at their phones, looking at everybody like this. I said, oh God, touch him. Heal him. Transform him. In Jesus' name. Amen. That man was not healed though. If I wanted to go by what I was feeling in my spirit, God was saying, out! Leave him in the name of...
That's what God was asking me to do. What? Hey, God. Hey, how will it be? What if? So I ran back home. And that thing was so heavy, like two bags of cement on my chest. Till midnight. So I started saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Then the next day, I was supposed to preach somewhere. So I went to preach. That thing came again. On the stage, it came on me. I said, okay, I've learned. Now, this time it was easier because I was inside an enclosed environment. So I started shouting, you demon of darkness, leave them alone, be free, be healed. After the service, a lady came, said she couldn't hear in this ear. That I was shouting. Something just popped out. I said, oh. The miraculous response to audacity. 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 So, I had learned from 2017. In 2025, I know better. It's better I shout that way and nothing happens than I don't shout. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's better I rebuke with audacity and I don't see anything immediately than I don't do it. Am I talking to you? There should be an increase in your desire for spiritual things. After 10 years, after 5 years, you are still struggling. Lord, should I do this one? Should I do this one? You are still struggling. Things that are supposed to have been fading away, that are fading away, you are still, those things are still competing with God in your life. I told you on Sunday, once upon a time, my hindrance to spiritual growth was movies and my hard drive scattered. That was my deliverance. Now, see, I'm not saying I don't watch movies now. I watch, but I have to work hard. I work hard to create the time because it's so difficult. Before I finish praying for all of you, I'm telling you what happens. Before I finish praying, I arrange sermon notes, ask the Lord what He wants us to do this month, fast about this one, receive one instruction from the Lord. Before I'm done, there's some movies that I've used 2 months to watch. Like, I'll watch 5 minutes today. I'm tired. Okay, the Lord wants me to pray. We'll come back. And it's not because I am trying to be so spiritual. Christ has a greater space. Do you understand? He's more in charge. Thank you, Jesus. I remember something. The Lord asked me to say something here today before I forget. Thank God I remembered. The Lord asked me to warn people who are at that place where they are struggling between the world and between following the Lord. It's not like you don't love God, though. You love God. But sometimes it's like worldly things are dragging you away. And there are some of you who have settled for being in the middle. You know what they are called? They are called the Eutychus Christians. The Bible says Paul was preaching in a city and a man called Eutychus was sitting on the window. He was sitting in the window. Now, if you study what the Bible says, he did not say he was on the window. In the window, that means if the window is like this, he was not sitting like this, so facing Paul. He was sitting like this. So that one ear is for the outside. One ear is for the word. So there are many Christians who they are sitting in the window. One ear is devoted to the worldly things. And that ear will love the Lord. You know, somebody, this generation, I saw something online. The person said, I will make Jesus proud. We may know you. Person will get 7 girlfriends. apart from his wife and 3 children. He said, you will never be many. I said, I get the point, but after he finished singing, I'll make Jesus proud. The world will curse him to make Jesus proud. And there are many believers like that. Lord said, I should beg you. Don't be like Eutychus, because the day you sleep off, you will not fall inside, you will fall outside. Because Eutychus slept off and fell and died. It was Paul that came and revived him. Tell your neighbor, don't sit in the window. Enter in. Dive in. So quickly as I round up, why must you ensure that you grow spiritually? Number one, spiritual growth will not happen naturally. You must pay attention for it to happen. It will not happen naturally. You have to fight for it to happen. Spiritual growth will not happen naturally. You have to fight for it to happen. Number two, it is the only way you will be able to fully please God and fully fulfill His plan for your life, and eventually fulfill His plan for your life. Number one, spiritual growth will not happen naturally. You must pay attention for it to happen. Let me tell you, with all these three things I just said, many people are not growing spiritually. Did you hear what I said? With the things we just read, I just said, if 50% of the church is growing spiritually, do you know what we will be like? Hey! Do you know what we will be talking? Our conversations are proof that people are not even growing spiritually. The things we are addressing in our generation, the things we are talking about. You read the early church, which is supposed to be the infant church, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed what was their discussions. For instance, for the past 10 years in this country, people have been arguing about tithes. Do you realize that in the early church, it was never once raised as a subject? Once, read the entire New Testament, not once. How do you want to teach people tithing when by the Holy Ghost on them already they are giving their all? How do you want to teach them? Now, okay, if you don't tithe, the devourer will come and eat your eyes, will cut off your throat, the devourer will chop your legs. People who the Holy Ghost came upon them, and the Bible says people were bringing their all. The Holy Ghost moved people to consecrate their all to God. And it got to the point where a church decided that none of us would say anything of our own. Everything we have belongs to the church. We can't even do that now. We can't do it. How can we say, you know what, that your land, go and sell it, bring it to the apostles' feet. Are we trained? Insta blog will carry me, pastor demands members to sell their land and bring it to the apostles' feet. We can't even do it. I'm not saying we should. Are you getting me? I'm just saying that if we are growing spiritually, our discussions will be different. Well, we have a teaching series for that, for money. You hear the things, there are things we're talking about. You say, okay, I know he's not really a serious Christian, but he loves me. People be asking how much of is kissing a sin? Have you heard those questions? Is kissing a sin? Can a Christian do BBL? Wait now, don't deny me. Are we together? Yes, sir. Say tattoos are tattoos a sin? Can a Christian do like this? And we are explaining, kissing is not a sin, but it will lead you to commit sin. We're just exaggerating. Go ask the early church, those kind of things. The doors open. Flee all appearance of evil. You will see scriptures like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You will be hearing, you read the Bible, sometimes you'll be asking yourself, Bible. That's why some people in the Western world say the Bible is a book of hate speech. Have you not heard that before? Who has heard? No, they say the Bible is a book of hate speech because sometimes the contrast between Bible stance and our stance is almost too much. You're talking about BBL, whereas it says, we having this earnest of the Spirit will put off this tabernacle and receive a body which is from heaven. The opposite of spiritual growth is carnality. Say after me, the opposite of spiritual growth is carnality. Now, the problem with carnality is that carnality is not exactly being an unbeliever.
Carnality is when somebody who is a Christian is still thinking like the unbeliever. So he is yet carnal. Are you following me? You know, when Adam and Eve, I wrote something down here, and I'll try and be fast, because when Adam and Eve sinned against God, their souls were darkened, and they had to learn to live naturally or carnally. All the while before then, they lived from their spirit. They did not fear animals. There was no sense of condemnation or manipulation. They didn't even fear what was called shame, because the glory of God had covered their nakedness. But after they sinned, they fell into carnality. And all these years, we have been training our natural and carnal mind. We have trained ourselves to respond to shame. Are you following me? We have trained our minds to fear. We have trained ourselves to be carnal. We have trained our mind to, even when God says something, it's almost difficult to believe it. See, what we call faith is the natural response of the human spirit to the word of God. When a recreated spirit receives the word of God, the natural response is called faith. Please, are you with me? Praise the Lord. And so, if you are going to follow the will of God and fulfill his plan, you must reject carnality. And let me read some scriptures to you as we round up. Romans 8, verse 6 to 8. You see how serious it is. You know, for some people, when they think about spiritual growth, they feel it's like this. Okay, I'm not a man of God. I'm not a woman of God. I don't carry church in my head. I'm not the lead steward. I'm not Pastor David. I'm just Abba's daughter who just loves God. You know, one guy wrote online. He said, I don't know why Christianity is so complex. My prayer starts with God, I beg, and God, thank you. God, I beg, and God, thank you. That's how my prayer is. They just make Christianity so complex. Oh God, you are carnal. Why is the aeroplane not only I just enter, I just come out? No, it is only when it comes to God that we want to reduce it to the barest minimum. Everything that is of value, is complex. In fact, see, the concept can be simple, but not exactly easy. For instance, that I can just speak this material medium, this thing, and I'm talking and you are hearing me. Do you know what has gone into? Do you know the kind of work that has gone into this thing? For you to be born, do you know what happened between the day sperm entered your mother and the day you were born? Do you know what? Can you capture all the processes that went in for you to be born? And you think that a vibrant relationship with God will be God, I beg. God, thank you. Just say you love the world more. Some people think spiritual growth is optional. I must not. Must I grow speed? Must I do too much? Can't I just be a nice girl? I just go to church on Sundays. I thank God. I don't do bad things. I don't smoke. I don't do this. I can drink a little. I can do this a little. I don't overdo it. You know people like that? They say, I must not over. You are making this thing too serious. Let me read something in the Bible for you. Romans 6:8 from verse 6. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God is saying that if you are walking with carnality in your mind, if your mind is run by the carnal systems, you are walking in death. As if that's not bad enough, look at verse 7. Everybody read verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Oh yeah, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Start again. 1, 2, 3, go. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Let me tell you, here you have a carnal mind. You can be an enemy of God and not know. Oh my God. Let me tell you, there are more people in church who are enemies of God and they don't know. You will fight God. Look at the Pharisees. Some people say, why would the Pharisees fight Jesus? Let me tell you, there are some of you right now, you are fighting Jesus. Right now, you are fighting Jesus. Some people in their local churches, they are the ones frustrating the work of God. They are the enemies of God because of carnality. Am I talking to you?
Don't be quick to say, I will not join them to kill Jesus. You may be killing him now. The carnal mind. Now, everybody read verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. The only way to please him, you must grow up spiritually. You must grow and see things the way he sees them. You must mature and do things the way he wants them done. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Am I on my own? Okay. Because she didn't respond, we'll start in verse 12. From verse 12 to verse 17. Amen.
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 Amen. 1, 2, 3, go. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which means also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How do you feel this kind of thing? How is he doing? Me, as I read this, it's like they are turning soup inside my stomach. Kai! Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There is a place where your mind is interacting with the things of God. Ah. When you grow spiritually, you can just know God wants me to go there. How do you know? Say, I cannot know his name, but I know. I know it like I know my name. I know it like, you know, sometimes when I listen to some of our fathers of faith talk, I'm wondering, can we even comprehend what we are saying? When Bishop Edward says, faith comes by hearing the voice of God. And for you to hear the voice of God, you have to be in the spirit. Hey, you have to be in the spirit. He says, my son, you can never be poor. As I heard it and I spinned. You know, argue, break your head. Something is coming from the realm of the spirit. Some people are talking with moderation. I cannot fail. Somebody, the thing has entered inside his spirit. Don't worry. Christ Life Conference, I'm going to talk about it. The Bible says faith is substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means faith is not, you cannot be confused if you have faith or not. If you have faith, you will know. It is the substance. It is so strong, eh? You are not saying, I'm not sure if I have faith. My faith is shaking. No, you don't have faith. If you have faith, you can hold it, because substance is anything that has weight. It has matter. Let me come back. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That's why you go and preach. They'll be telling you, how can your God be three and one? He say, Virgin Mary gave birth. Waiting with the talk. You can don't try to explain to him what you should be praying, that let his eyes be opened. Because he's a natural man. He can't receive what we are talking about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it then. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That means our destiny is for us not to be men. Not to be natural people. When they look at us, they say, this one is not with us. This one is a different kind of human being. Remember I was saying faith is natural response to the word of God. You know, I was praying today about another thing. Halfway into the prayer, I saw us building fence for a land. I said, God, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible. Through faith, we understand that the walls are framed by the word of God. So that the things which are not seen are not made of the things which do appear. Ah. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. God testifying of his gift, he being dead yet speaketh. Sometimes you read Bible, you're wondering, what is happening here? So I mean, I will be spiritual. I must be spiritual. Let me tell you, if you are not spiritual, you will not serve God well. I'm telling you, you will not. You will not serve God well. You will be where you are not supposed to be. And you will be... Oh, and where you are supposed to be, you will not be there. Hebrews 5, as we close. And this is my charge to all of you. I remember when in my spiritual growth, I began to feel this thing that God needs to count on me. God wants to count on me. God wants to count. I cannot explain it, but it came on me like a blanket. God wants to count on me. Can God count on me? God wants to give me nations, but can he count on me? Can you wake me up in the night and count that your prayer will deliver them? If by tomorrow morning, somebody is going to die. Tomorrow morning, the devil has planned that somebody is going to die. Can he wake you up in the night and say, arise, arise, arise. And you will arise. You will respond and get the job done. To be spiritually minded is life. I remember one day, you know, bringing it to church. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, I'm coming there. I remember one day, growing up, you know, the church I grew up in, Foundation Faith Church, rain fell so heavily. And I was like, I'm the youngest in the choir. I mean, I'm talking about a choir of 150 to 200 people. When they give me a robe like this, I'm inside the robe will cover my face like this. Like, I have to be finding where my... one of the midweek services, one Tuesday like that, rain fell, even though Port Harcourt and rain. Rain fell so much that people's zincs were removed. Everywhere was flooded. But I felt God in my spirit, you must go to church today. I'm like, there are like five keyboardists employed in the church. I'm talking about a mega, mega church. What am I going there to do? I said, must I go? I could feel the Lord telling me, you must go. You cannot give an excuse. Today you must go. I went out, my slippers caught. When it was too much, saying, you know what? Lord, I'm going. I trekked barefooted to that service. Barefooted to the service. When I got to the service, lo and behold, I was the only choir member there. After they did opening prayer, and that choir member came, led praise and worship, I played the keyboard. After the service, in fact, I was so stranded that I couldn't even go. After the service, the Lord came to me and said, if we did not come, what would have happened? I was like, see, this is a sign you are growing. You are growing. You are maturing. You are maturing. No, I would have followed the way I felt. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Everybody read, 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. Read verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. I want to ask you a question as we are closing now. It's 1 hour, 15 minutes on the dot. How long will you be here? Everybody jump on your feet. How long? I believe I may have said one or two things that may have provoked you to say, Lord, it's time to grow. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I will not remain a baby forever. Lord, from this moment, I want you to say with you a loud voice, Lord, from this moment, I take my stand, I make my decision, I open my heart, and I grow in the name of Jesus. From this moment, I will be all you've called me to be. I will be a man you can be proud of. You will not move on without me. Lord, in my generation, you will be able to count on me. Begin to pray right now.